This is BSD.
Hello, I'm Gianluca Baroni.
And I'm Emma Flaxman.
And welcome to the Media Weekly podcast from PhD. On the show, we and some very special guests break down the week's media agenda, making some leaps into what it all means for communications and marketing. How are you, Emma?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, just trying to survive this sudden wave of hot weather here in the UK. But other than that, doing great.
Air conditioning. It's all about air conditioning.
That's the key. So, Emma, what's coming up on this week's episode?
We have got a great show coming up where we'll be chatting to our very own Philippa Brown, CEO of PhD Worldwide. With Cannes kicking off next week, we'll be asking why it's still relevant, her behind-the-scenes insights as a former jury president, and a sneak peek at some of the very cool stuff Omnicom have planned for the event. That's all coming up on the week's show, but before we get into that, it's over to Angela Rapley for the Media Weekly News.
Thanks, Emma. First up, Meta is pushing ahead with plans to launch a rival to Twitter, according to a report by tech news site The Verge, which was picked up by The Guardian and other news outlets. Meta's chief product officer, Chris Cox, reportedly said that Meta was in discussions with Oprah Winfrey, who has more than 42 million followers on Twitter, and the Dalai Lama, who has nearly 19 million, to be potential users, adding that coding for the app began in January and it would be made available to, quote, as soon as we can. The Verge said the app would integrate with ActivityPub, a decentralized social networking technology which allows social networks to be interoperable. In theory, this would allow users of the new Meta app to take their accounts and followers to apps supported by ActivityPub, such as Mastodon. According to earlier reports, the app will be based on Instagram, and users will be able to sign in with their Instagram username and password, with their followers, user bio, and verification transferring over to the new app. As has been widely reported in the industry, Twitter has had an eventful time under Elon Musk's leadership. Although time will tell whether the appointment of former NBC Universal executive Linda Yaroquino as new Twitter CEO will steady the ship. Next up, according to a new report from subscription analytics firm Antenna, Netflix's recent move blocking customers from sharing their account with people outside of their household appears to have paid off, resulting in a huge boost in new signups for the service. Since alerting subscribers in the US that it would begin to curb password sharing on May the 23rd, Netflix has had the four single largest days of US user acquisition in the 4.5 years since Antenna began measuring the streaming service. Based on the most current data available, Netflix saw nearly 100,000 daily signups on both May 26th and May 27th, the spike being an overall 102% increase in signups over the previous 60 days. The last time Netflix signups spiked in a similar fashion was in April and May 2020. Post the password sharing crackdown, signups have even exceeded that. This means Netflix received a larger influx of new users after blocking account sharing than it did when nearly everybody was at home watching TV during the COVID lockdowns of spring 2020. And finally, a study by human resources analytics firm Revelio Labs has found that many of the jobs that are most likely to be replaced by AI are currently held by women. The study, reported in Bloomberg, was based on research from the National Bureau of Economic Research and identified 10 occupations that are at risk of automation. These occupations include bill and account collectors, payroll clerks, executive secretaries, and customer service representatives, all of these occupations currently dominated by women. The study argues that the gender bias that exists in the workforce is contributing to the skewed impact of AI. They point out that women are more likely to be employed in occupations that involve repetitive tasks, which are the types of tasks that are most easily automated. The study also warns that the impact of AI in the workforce could be even more severe for women than for men. It argues that women need to be given the opportunity to retrain for new jobs that are not at risk of automation. It also called for policies that will help to address the gender bias that exists in the workforce. Certainly a lot for us all to think about. And on that note, I'll hand you back to Emma and Gianluca for the rest of the Media Weekly.
Thanks, Angela, for the news in another non-stop media week. Wow, what a week. I mean, Meta planning to take on Twitter. What's your thoughts on that, Gianluca?
Definitely. I think I'm starting to lose track, actually, of all the new players in the social media space recently. But Yeah, really interesting to hear about Meta preparing a social media platform to rival Twitter and decentralized platforms like Mastodon. So time will tell who will win the tech-based social media arms race, right?
Absolutely.
What did you make of this week's news, Emma?
I think as an Instagram user, being able to kind of move straight onto that would be interesting. But I actually found the Netflix story really interesting. The fact that they were expecting to lose quite a lot of users and gaining more was just fascinating in terms of a marketeer's head. What do you think about that one?
I mean, yeah, clearly it caused some upset and there were some people that unsubscribed, but overall, actually things increased, you know, almost like an increase above pandemic level. So really interesting to see that. Obviously good news for advertisers to reach even more people on Netflix. So yeah. And what about AI? What did you think of that piece, Emma?
Well, you know me, anything that has to do with women, I'm there talking about it. It doesn't surprise me. I should be shocked, but in terms of the fact that 30% of the positions over 5 years potentially, I mean, the number of jobs and the link of who currently does those jobs, it doesn't surprise me that it's mainly female roles. And I'm not necessarily in terms of gender equality, but just in terms of what women are technically good at. And I think that it will be about how they use potential AI rather than replacing.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Clearly, there's still so much more to figure out in terms of a responsible application and implications of AI, right?
Absolutely.
We will definitely be seeing across all the reporting on AI here on the Media Weekly, so keep tuning in. As ever, lots to say across, much to discuss, and as always, we want you to be part of the conversation. If you have any questions, thoughts, and opinions on this week's news or anything that's shaping your media week, please do get in touch with us.
You can reach us by email at maketheleap@phdmedia.com. That's maketheleap@phdmedia.com. Coming up next, Gianluca talks all things Cannes with PhD Worldwide CEO Philippa Brown, so don't miss it.
Today, creating a media campaign requires a diverse range of experts from different organizations and different locations. Providing a shared online environment where they can build a campaign is now a necessity. Omni Studio brings everyone together into one campaign planning platform. Marketers can explore existing media campaigns, create new ones, and collaborate in their development. Change how you plan your marketing with Omni Studio from PhD Media, the only collaborative campaign planning platform of its kind. Omni Studio, creating remarkable campaigns, creating remarkable growth. Check out phdmedia.com to find out more.
Joining us on the podcast, we've got Philippa Brown, PhD Worldwide CEO. Philippa, fantastic to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, it's great to be here, Gianluca. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Cannes next week as well.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to get into all things Cannes with you today. But before that, we at PhD, of course, know you very well. But for marketers listening who may not, could you give us a little introduction on you and your role?
Of course, yes. So I've been in the marketing and media and advertising field for the last 30 years, working on some of the biggest brands in the world, which has been a privilege. I was named CEO of PhD Worldwide just under 4 years ago. So I had a year COVID-free and then COVID hit. At PhD, we have 7,000 employees across the world. And we are, of course, part of Omnicom, which has recently been named Holding Company of the Year by Ad Age.
I know, which is just brilliant news, isn't it? That's just fantastic. Well, we're here, of course, to talk about all things Cannes. Now, we're living in a much more virtual world, aren't we? And that trend shows no sign of stopping. We only need to look at Apple recently announcing their VR AR Vision Pro device to see that virtual living and working is only set to continue. But would you say that a big in-person annual meeting like Cannes actually still plays a valuable and relevant role for our industry?
Oh, yes, 100%. I mean, I have to say I missed it terribly during COVID. I know we tried to do it virtually, but it wasn't the same. Cannes is about awards, it's about creativity, it's about showing the work, but most importantly, it's about connections and relationships and being with people, both from your own company, but from your clients' companies and also our important partners in terms of media vendors. And there's nothing like Cannes in the world that does that so successfully. So yes, I think there is a massive part that Cannes can play in our year of marketing and getting to know each other.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're in an industry of creativity. So seeing each other in person, talking in person, that's just the best way, isn't it? And for PhD specifically, would you say that Cannes plays a significant role as well?
Oh, definitely. I mean, without a doubt, we pride ourselves as a network to be one of the most creative and innovative companies in the world. We've got proof of that through our walk effectiveness. So for us, this plays to our strengths. It's right at the centre of PhD's DNA and our core values, creativity. So in fact, I think it is the most important event of the year for us at PhD.
100%. Just such a great platform to showcase some absolutely fantastic work, right? So for those that may not know, Philippa, you're a former Cannes jury president yourself, right? So you've got special insight into the behind the scenes in the jury room. Could you tell us a bit about your jury experience and what do you think the jury will be looking for this year?
So I was jury president in a very unusual year because it was COVID. So actually, I wasn't in a room with any of my fellow jurors. I was actually in my kitchen for 4 days, full on. However, it was still an amazing experience. Jurors from all around the world. We saw some amazing work and judged some amazing work. Everyone makes such a huge effort to do brilliant work. We had lots of very heated debates and discussions, which is part of it. But, you know, we really, you know, I still really enjoyed it. I did at some point, though, wish that I had have been in the room with everyone, especially at the end of the day, when we can get a nice glass of rosé and discuss the day. But we had virtual glasses of rosé, which was great. In terms of what I think the judges are looking for, I still think we're looking for brilliant consumer insights that come from data that then lead to brilliant ideas that then lead to great business results. Now, that sounds very simple, but it's amazing how often parts of that is missed out from papers and entries where you're not getting a great insight. You don't know where the data's come from. The ideas aren't that strong. And then, believe it or not, some papers don't say any results at all. So you need all of those for a really, really great award-winning paper. And it is one of those things we all talked about, which was, oh, I wish I'd have thought of that. That was always our sort of benchmark. When we judge, we would go, oh, gosh, I wish I'd have thought of that. That's a brilliant idea. And look at those results. Fantastic. Must have a very happy client. So I don't think it will be anything different this year as it was a few years ago. Is really tying all that up together. Purpose is always going to be a big part of it. We are, I know as at Cannes, there was at one point a lot of sort of charity submissions and purpose submissions with not huge budgets behind it. And we've actually sort of balanced that out now, which is great. So you do need a budget. You do need to show the business outcomes. Charity ads, of course, are always going to be important in the mix, but they're not the only things. You know, we've got some huge companies out there like Diageo and Unilever, etc., all of whom are doing great work. So really coming up with great ideas on meaningful budgets that can be scaled is something that I think is very important.
I think you mentioned some charity examples there, and actually I wanted to dig into that a bit more because actually I wanted to ask about your point of view on the rise of brand and social purpose in award-winning work. Do you think it's essential, or do you think that commercially successful work that is creative but without necessarily evident purpose also merits consideration?
Yes, no, I mean, I do. I think, and it does, I can. It features quite heavily. I think it's just the balance, as I said. I think at 1 year, that it was like 90%, you know, charity and purpose. And I think there has to be a balance. And so I think there's room for both categories and sectors. I don't think there's any problem with that, because you do want to see some of the purpose and brilliant social work, but you also want to see great commercial work from some of the biggest companies in the world, because that's what make our economy goes around. And as you know, advertising pays. It does return amazing returns on your investment. So we want to make sure that we're pushing that work as well as the brilliant charity and social purpose work.
100%. It's not an either or, it's both, isn't it? And more broadly, do you think that there will be any main topics or key themes of conversation this year at Cannes?
Yes. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there'll be some metaverse work going in. There's always things that, you know, whatever is the latest trend, it tends to be on the stage. So AI, I'm sure that will all be there. It'll be the talk on the stage. I still think data will be very important. Of course, tech will be incredibly important. But one of the things I'm hoping is that creativity is front and center. Because again, I think, you know, over the past few years, creativity has been pushed aside a bit and data and tech have taken over. And really, it is a creativity festival. That's what we're there to do. We know that creativity gives the biggest return on any spend, innovation and creativity. So it should be rewarded and it should be celebrated. So I hope creativity really features in all of the talks and the work that we see over the coming week.
100%. And actually, Omnicom will be there, won't they? And they will have a lot of really exciting stuff going on at Cannes this year. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So we're having what's called the Omnicom Cove. I'm very excited to see it. It'll be right next door to Media Link, right on the Croisette, not far from the Palais. So if you are registered or want to be registered, please come along and see us. Every day we'll have brilliant speakers, fantastic panels, not just from Omnicom and Omnicom Media Group and PhD, but actually with our media vendors, our clients, right across the board. And we're really talking about some fascinating subjects around obviously diversity and inclusion, topics about building better brands, obviously the art of creativity. So lots of really interesting subjects. We're also, every day, we're also partnering with one of our big media partners. And on the Tuesday, it's Meta, but we've got also TikTok and other partners that week. And we'll be having breakfast every morning for people to drop by and have a strong black coffee after the night before. We will also on the Monday be celebrating 5 years of Omni, which, as you know, is our marketing insights and data platform, which really helps businesses transform themselves through data. So we're all very, very excited about that. And then we have on the Tuesday, Toast of Cannes, where all our clients and Omnicom people will come together. So again, incredibly excited about that too. And I think we've got a brilliant week ahead.
100%. And I've also seen that Spike Lee is coming in to talk about the Black Creative Dilemma, right? So that's another one.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to miss.
No, that will be absolutely fascinating. And also, we will be producing a daily show that would be broadcast called Omnicom's Candid Can. Brilliant name. And it will be a 1 hour daily live stream show between 4 and 5 p.m. every day. And that will be talking, obviously, about the best of the festival, what people have seen, what are their highlights, and really bringing Can to people all around the world. Even if you're not there, you will really feel like you are and that you've seen some of the best stuff and not to miss stuff. So that's called Omnicom Candid Can. So look out for that as well.
Well, Philippa, needless to say, there is a lot of great work and thinking that is going to be coming out of Can and from Omnicom this year. Do you have any tips for any Can first timers so that they get the most out of their experience?
Yes. Yeah, so I remember the first time I went, I'll be perfectly honest, I was not very prepared. And I sort of aimlessly walked along the Croisette, going in, popping into different talks and, you know, sort of ending up meeting people and then going off to different places. The most important tip is plan ahead. plan ahead. Make sure, you know, it's literally hour by hour. Your diary gets full. Make sure you're in the right part of the Crossette and not 1 minute walking from the Carlton to the Majestic. And make sure, you know, you really lean into the sessions and really learn from it and get really good, you know, advice. And yeah, feel inspired. I mean, Cannes should all be about walking away feeling inspired. You might have a bit of a headache, but you should be inspired.
I love your advice, Philippa. As with anything in life, preparation is key. And me too, I'm hoping that creativity will really take center stage again this year at Cannes. So Philippa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Gianluca. Thank you to everyone that's listening. For those that are going to Cannes next week, I will see you there. For those that aren't, please listen in to our daily TV show because it's going to be fantastic. And yes, enjoy Cannes week.
Fantastic. Bye for now.
Bye.
And that's it for this episode of the Media Weekly from PhD. Remember, you can get in touch with any feedback or questions for the team here at the Media Weekly by emailing us at maketheleap@phdmedia.com. A big thanks to Philippa and to you for listening. To find out more about PhD and what we do, just head to phdmedia.com.
And finally, make sure you subscribe to the Media Weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, enjoy making some media leaps in the week ahead wherever you are in the world.
Bye for now.